Brandon would give me the point as to now is the time I'm supposed to start.
He actually pointed at you, but you were busy pointing at me.
No, Brian's talking to a gorgeous blonde over there. He doesn't give a rat's ass about the Four Outdoorsmen. Hey, the Four Outdoorsmen. I'm Bob Total Country. How you doing, Boom?
You know what? I'm doing really good. Happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes. If you're driving home, you had a beautiful weekend to enjoy the outdoors. Want to give a big shout out to Sandpine Pheasants. That's where we were for the Game Fair Gala.
You've done a hell of a job up there building relationships, and that's a wonderful place.
And they are coming on board to be a sponsor. And because of Sandpine Pheasants, we have a special guest to our left. Introduce yourself, sir.
Oh, a politician. Jeepers.
Boy, he was short and sweet there. That was quick.
Short and sweet, but I don't know. Do we need to, maybe I need to audit this place because you said the four sportsmen?
The four outdoorsmen.
Well, see, we typically have three in house. If you're new to the Four Outdoorsmen, we have producer Mark that helped start us off about 6 years ago, and he's a big part of our show. We miss you. We love you, Mark. I know you're in South Dakota pheasant hunting right now. And so.
Well, we didn't make that gig.
He did that gig because he's a big shot at Ron Scher Productions, and that's where they bring out all their big clients. But we have a great show for you. We have Minnesota Secretary of State candidate John Howe with us from Red Wing, Minnesota. We met him at the Game Fair Gala. Yep. He's a fellow outdoorsman, so we're going to talk some outdoors with him. In a couple minutes, we're going to have Craig Invall on, who is the El Presidente of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, talking about the deer hunting outlook, what's going on. And then in the last segment, Stru and I are going to BS like we typically do during the first 20 minutes of the show about some of our adventures. But Craig Envall is going to join us in a couple minutes, isn't he?
I'll tell you what, he's the perfect guest to start this thing up because, of course, 2018 deer hunting season is right around the corner. As a matter of fact, I can't wait to go sit in the woods and take a nap and see what happens. I hope nothing walks by me, but go ahead, Boom. You're going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to ask John over here. John, can we call you John on the show?
Absolutely.
It's a lot for me to
call me late for dinner.
All right. It's a lot for me to.
It's not Representative John anymore. It's not.
No. Okay. Well, it would have been Senator. I wasn't a rep.
Oh, that's right. You were a senator. That's right.
Oh, way to mess it up with a big politician.
No, that's fine. You know, I'll remind people that when I was in the Senate, I passed that yellow flashing arrow law so you can take a left-hand turn.
What a big deal. I tell you, that's all about common sense. We'll talk about politics in the second section.
Well, I had a question for him on deer hunting. I had a question on deer hunting. Do you like to deer hunt, John?
I love deer hunting. Unfortunately, this year, that's the best 8 days of my life is going up deer hunting. But this year, I won't be able to go up until November 7th because the election is November 6th. So I wanted to tell all the deer hunters out there, please vote early. I know when you get up to your hunting camp or your hunting spot, you're not probably going to want to drive back on Tuesday to vote.
Yep.
So please vote before you go. Now, I want you to vote for me for Secretary of State, but even if you don't, please vote before you go.
Do you deer hunt down in southern Minnesota where you live, or do you go up north?
No, I go between Sabika and Monaga, up about 10 miles south of Park Rapids.
Okay, so we have hunting property up in Bacchus, Minnesota.
That's real close.
Do you know where that is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Same area.
Yep.
So it's been really fun. We have family property up there, John. My mom was a taxidermist. Yep. My dad was a guide after the military. And with all that being said, we have about 150 acres up there, my dad and I do, and it's all hunting land, Strew and Wild Card right there. And producer Mark has joined me a couple times, and we love it up there. It's God's place up
there. What's nice about that location, I've got a hunting shack up in Ely, Minnesota with my family for many, many years.
That's a little too far north.
What's nice about where you guys are, it's 4.5 hours if it takes you a penny to get up on the northeast corner of Lake Vermilion, but it's God's country, but you haven't got where you guys are, 2.5, 3 hours, whatever, is absolutely perfect.
All right, so let's get our special guest line. Let's get him. Bring him in, Stru.
Hey, Craig, Craig, are you there, my friend? Uh-oh.
The sound of silence. Craig Envall.
All right, now he's there.
Are you with us?
I am with you. How are you doing?
Good. I know you were so excited to join the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country again that you probably muted the phone by accident, so we'll forgive you this time. It's Boomer here, but hey, Craig, thanks for joining us again on tonight's show.
Yeah, glad to be here. Beautiful day in the Northland, getting ready for hunting.
You bet. I tell you what, thanks for taking the time to do this because I know you had to change your schedule a little bit. Strewman here, Steve Strusinski. We've had you on a couple of times before. Had him on at the State Fair last year. And Craig Engwall is the head of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association for 2017-2018. I'll tell you what, and we also have a special guest in studio, and that's John Howe, Republican candidate for the Secretary of State for the state of Minnesota. And John, say hi to Craig Engwall.
Hi, Craig. How's everything going in your world?
It's good. It's good. Waiting for a little snow right before the opener and make things great, but nice to be on with you guys.
You need to have a little tracking snow.
Yeah.
Yes, right. You do.
I'll tell you what, hey, Craig, if you were down here in the Twin Cities, I just came home from our place in Chautauqua, Wisconsin a couple of days ago, and as we're driving down Highway 96, my wife and I, from between Manning and Highway 61, it was a whiteout at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm thinking it's October 20th. It's way too early for that. Craig, let's talk about deer hunting in 2018. What's new? What do you predict about deer hunting in 2018?
Well, I think it'll be improved. You know, deer hunting is always susceptible to weather on opening weekend when most of the hunters are out. So if weather is off some way or the other, you can always affect the harvest. But generally speaking, the herd is growing. We had a mild winter up north, so we didn't really have the kill that we had in 13, 14, et cetera. So I'm looking for a good herd, good harvest, and hopefully people will be fun and have fun and be safe.
Craig, do you have any insights so far about the number of hunters that are probably going to go out chasing a white-tailed deer this year versus years past? Do you guys have any gauge on that?
You know, it's interesting. Deer hunters have been more stable and I also grouse hunt, pheasant hunt, duck hunt. I do them all. And those numbers have dropped, but deer hunter numbers have stayed pretty stable, right around 500,000. So I would anticipate that. We have, you know, the one area that's going up, we have more women hunting, which is great. So
you bet.
I'm looking for a number around 500,000 hunters.
It's nice to have someone who wants to cook and clean the cabin. You bet. Keep those. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Hey, Craig, on a serious note, you know, with Minnesota having 500,000 hunters, I think it was a couple years ago where I was at the Horse and Hunt Club, John, and they had like this Hunting Works for Minnesota lobby group.
Right.
And it talked about Minnesota as a per capita was like one of the top three states as far as people that buy a deer hunting license. I don't know. I say that all the time, Craig, and I want to make sure I'm not making that up. How do we stack up as a state with the number of people that deer hunt versus other states?
We do quite well. Wisconsin's a biggie, too. They have the same kind of tradition that we do. Pennsylvania does, Texas does, but we're right up there. We have such a history and tradition. My deer camp goes back to 1949 when my dad and grandpa started it, and there are a lot of families that carry that same type of tradition on.
Craig, this is John Hulk asking you this question. What are the economic benefits? Do you have any numbers in terms of economic benefits? And then also, what's the number of non-resident hunters that come into Minnesota?
Good questions. I should have these dialed in since I spoke to Thief River Falls for Hunting Works for Minnesota and us on Wednesday. But, hunters in Minnesota generate about $750 million of economic activity in Minnesota. And we spend approximately $1,500 on average per hunter. So it's quite compelling. We don't have as many non-resident hunters as other states out west do, but I don't have an exact number, but I'm guessing it's somewhere near the 10% range of our total amount of hunters.
Well, Craig, I don't know if you knew this, but I've been involved with MDHA since I can walk, because with your mother being a taxidermist and your dad being a guide, my dad was actually the vice president of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association chapter of the Twin Cities. It was one of the biggest at the time, and I got to run around and I found some of his cool coffee cups from back in the day. You know the plastic ones where there was film in the middle of the pitcher? And there were the old school MDHA cups. And so I really applaud all the efforts MDHA does to preserve our ecosystem for deer hunting and protect our rights as gun owners. With that being said, my dad always said when deer hunting was good, the number of members was down, John. But he said when deer hunting was bad, then people get riled up and they want to join MDHA.
Sure.
How does it look for membership right now for MDHA?
You know, we've been fairly stable, but we're growing older. I mean, and that's one thing we got to work at. And we've been working with other groups and DNR on the R3, as they call it, recruitment, retention, and reactivation. I'm just turned 55, and I'm below average age. Our average age is 57, and that's up.
That's old.
Yeah, Yeah, it is.
I mean, as far as the average age for a deer hunter, that seems old to me.
I think that's the average age of an MDHA member.
Still old.
Still. Yeah. What are you doing to try and bring that number down or get more younger hunters to join the association?
Absolutely. So we have mentored hunts, and we have to keep at it. And the other groups face the same thing. I guarantee you, Pheasants Forever and Ducks Unlimited and the others, we're all in the same boat. So that's why there's this nationwide R3 program to try to recruit young people. But it's tough. I won't deny that it is tough. And the key is to get active people. So even if our numbers go down, as long as they're engaged and active and want to preserve habitat and, you know, do our mission, we'll keep going.
Well, I tell you, Craig, I might be biased a little bit, but having two 11-year-olds that are into the outdoors, the more popular you are on social media right now, I think that is really going to be a strong uptick. I've seen some other organizations that are involved in ecosystems and supporting the outdoors, like the Minnesota Smallmouth Bass Alliance, you know, Free the Fighter. They're very social and active. So I think that is one component to do it. The youth mentored hunts is absolutely amazing. And then now, what are some key activities this year that MDHA is doing for our deer hunters?
Well, I'll go to our old standard, and it's a wonderful program that we almost lost this year due to the outside economic forces. But I think you guys are aware of the Hides for Habitat program. It's been around 32 years, and in that time, and this is all hunter donations, and there's no profit on this. The money all goes, except for costs, it all goes into habitat. We have collected $865,000 into $5.25 million of habitat, just from people dropping hides off in their boxes scattered around the state. This year, due to things happening in China, and people don't realize, we sell our hides to hide buyers who then ship them over to China for tanning and other things. That got shut down this year, and so for about a week or two, it looked like we weren't going to be able to afford to do the program, but the high buyers worked with us. We aren't going to make much money this year to put back in, but we wanted to keep the program going. So donate your hides. Look for our orange boxes. You can find us either, and as you say about technology, you can go to our website at mndeerhunters.com. You can type in your address. It'll tell you where boxes are around you, or you can just call us at 800-450-DEER.
We are talking with Craig Engwald from the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. Craig, I tell you, we're bringing up the deer hide and donation thing is really, really important, because about, like I said, 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden it was shut down, and then I read this morning, I think, and that was even publicized in my Bible, the outdoor news newspaper, but it was publicized, I think, this morning, the St. Paul Pioneer Press, I believe, maybe it was yesterday, that you guys are back on board with that. Last year, the hides were going for about $8 a piece, and you could donate those. Now it's down to maybe $3 a piece, and Fleet Farm is jumping on board and saying, listen, you want to get $3 for a hide? Drop it off at Fleet Farm, and we'll give you a $5 in-store credit, and you can shop at Fleet Farm. So go to the Fleet Farms if you want to as well. All the money goes to the right place, I believe, but I'm glad you guys are back on board.
Yep, it's really important, and we didn't want to break the continuity of having people expect to be able to drop hides off. So we're excited to be back.
Right, so, Craig, I know we got about 4 minutes left with you before we got to get to break, but let's talk about CWD. That is a hot topic for deer hunting in the state of Minnesota. Give us your overview on where we're at with CWD in the state of Minnesota.
Well, you know, we're basically of it contained in the wild down to an area by Preston. There have been 18 positives down there over the last couple years. DNR is being aggressive on trying to contain that, and we support that effort. We do have concerns about captive servant farms. There are two other, so there's a farm down in that area that was positive, and then there's one in Meeker and one in Crow Wing County that had positives. So DNR is doing samples around the outside of those farms to test deer that are taken by hunters.
Craig, this is John Howell calling, and I'm asking the question again. I'm from Red Wing, and can you just talk a little bit about what happened down in Goodhue County there? Because there's a new thing there, a new disease, a virus that, you know, when the deer get it, they're dead within 36 hours, and it took out that whole herd in Goodhue. So can you talk a little bit about that?
I can, and that's EHD, and I won't be able to pronounce right, Epstuk, hemorrhage disease, and it's it's basically transmitted by a gnat or a flea. And Minnesota's been fortunate so far to have dodged it until now. Most states around us and most states in the U.S. have had it. It's very different from CWD. It's a disease that this is transmitted by this flea, and it affects the deer almost immediately, and it kills them. It's not transmissible to humans. It's not passed from deer to deer. It's more akin to, it's not like West Nile, but it's transmitted by a bug. And so this is really unique to have it in this one farm, and we'll be paying attention to it. But actually, Minnesota's been lucky not to have it so far.
That's
so
scary, man.
So,
that's
Craig,
scary.
We got about 1 minute left with you. Shout out to our listeners on the Four Outdoors and on Bob Country, how folks can get more involved with MDHA.
You know, again, calling us directly, and they can talk to me directly for that matter. The easiest number is 800-450-DEER. Or go to our website, mndeerhunters.com. We have chapters. We have about 20,000 members around the state and 60 chapters. So there are chapters near you, wherever you're listening. And so we just, and I want to tout our Four Corns program, too. We have, we put about 1,000 kids through a week-long course each summer. There are three levels of that, from age 11 to 17. We do deer hunting stuff, but we also do outdoor training, biology, the whole works, and it's great for kids, so we do that as well. And then we're active on behalf of hunters at the legislature, and in D.C. on wolf issues and different things like that. So,
hey, Craig, we have about 35 seconds or so. What's new that hunters should be aware of? What kind of new laws or rules have been put into effect?
You know, I would say if they're hunting in a CWD area or a testing zone, check your regs. Because if you're in one of those areas, either southeast Minnesota or Crow Wing or Meeker County, make sure that you're, if you are in a testing zone, that you bring in your deer to be registered and have them remove the lymph nodes to test them. That's important.
Thanks, buddy.
But otherwise, we're good.
Keep up the good work.
Looking forward to the season.
You bet. Keep it up.
Thank you, Craig Engvall. Stay tuned to the Four Outdoorsmen. After break, we are going to have outdoorsman John Howe, who's running for Secretary of State of Minnesota, up next.
Checking in with the Four Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the Four Outdoorsmen approved, Wild Fowler. Wild Fowler provides head-to-toe concealment and patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wild Fowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wild Fowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wild Fowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store. wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Hurry into Lowe's today for savings on everything you need to get started on fall projects, like overseeding and feeding your lawn. You'll find the lawn care products right for your area in stock at Lowe's, plus the know-how to help if you have any questions, like what to do now and what to do next. Plus, find savings to perk up your curb appeal with new mulch and fall plants. Whatever's on your to-do list, start now and save on what you need. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's.
The 7th annual Fall Flooring Yard Sale's going on now with incredible deals at Lumber Liquidators. We've got hundreds of floors on sale, up to 50% off, in stock and ready to go. Save big on waterproof floors, all on sale from just 39 cents. Get wood look laminate flooring, all on sale up to 40% off. Pre-finished hardwood and bamboo starting at 99 cents, plus special financing. Stop by your local Lumber Liquidators store or visit lumberliquidators.com today.
Outdoorsman Strew Man here, the wild card of the Four Outdoorsmen and Bob Total Country. I tell you, this is a lot of fun. Every day is a gift. I tell you, we're all blessed to be able to be here, BSing about hunting and fishing. once a week. Boomer, well, Boomer, like normal, after during his first break, he goes and take a leak.
You know, well, Boomer, you know, Mother Nature calls.
Boomer's gone again. Boomer's gone again. And the voice you're hearing to my left.
I had to get my yuppie sparkling water, too, buddy. Yeah, get my voice back.
The voice to my left is John Howe, and John Howe is our in-studio guest. He's Mark Lukey tonight. You're about maybe 100 pounds less of a Mark Lukey, but you're Mark Lukey tonight, and Mark Lukey is hunting in pheasant hunting in South Dakota someplace.
Yeah,
right?
He's there with the big shots at Ron Share Productions. Yeah. So, Mark, we miss you, we love you, and
send us some film and send us some photographs and all that kind of stuff, Mark, from wherever you are. Anyway, so John Howe is the Republican candidate for Secretary of State for the state of Minnesota. Welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, thanks for having me here.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a thrill for us because, as Boomer said early on, we met you up in Avon, Minnesota at Sandpine Pheasants, and just... again, I've got to be fair because someone higher up in this radio station told me that we can't let the public think that we are endorsing John Howe. Bob Total Country, by the way.
You guys said you were going to vote for
him. I think we'll reach out to the other guy. Every vote counts.
I think Mark Fisher
is going to vote for John Howe. I'm guessing we're going to find out later on.
Well, anyway, he is a Hall of Fame fisherman.
You should be voting for me. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you're the real deal. So, I mean,
when we first held
the conversation with you up at Sandpine, and you walk the walk and talk the talk, and you love the outdoors.
I love the outdoors.
Conservation, hunting, and fishing.
You know, I'm so fortunate. I grew up in a farm out in Western Minnesota, and my dad took me hunting and fishing. I've got three brothers and one sister, and we were all involved in hunting, and it was great, and a lot of it was to put food on the table too.
I'll tell you, you're talking about you were born and raised out wherever you mentioned you were born and raised, and on the farm area back in the old days, and you weren't like a Mr. Dayton born with it, was just raised and had the money in your pocket and mom and dad did the stuff and you got the money when mom and dad passed away. You were born and raised in a place that had no running water. Am I correct? And you're only 55 years old or so?
That is correct.
You know,
we all have humble beginnings, some of us more humble than others. And I like to say that, we didn't have a lot of money, but my mom is still, she's 85. She still lives in the farm out there. We have most of the farm, in set aside acres for pheasants and ducks and things of that nature. But I like to tell people my mom is my hero because when dad put running water into the barn, she made him bring it into the house.
I love it.
That's wonderful. That's a smart woman there.
Yeah. But it was great. You know, we did a lot of hunting. We did everything from, duck and goose hunting to pheasant hunting. Deer hunting was always the real special thing to do, to go up north. And then, of course, we did everything. We trapped, for the fur, for the money, for the fur. We hunted fox, and it was great. It was really good.
We're going to talk about your campaign for Secretary of State, and thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. We're going to reach people all the way from Rochester up to Alexandria because of Bob Total Country here.
I grew up just an hour south of Alexandria, a little town called Chicayo, Chokio.
I used to drive through that going to Lake Traverse to go pheasant hunting and walleye fishing.
Yeah. If you blink, you'll miss it.
Yeah, there's not much there. There's a little gas station.
We like to say where the pavement ends and the west begins.
So. I love it. So, John, we had the opportunity to meet you at the Game Fair Gala. And one of the things that caught my attention, and again, we'll reach out to the other candidate for Secretary of State as well, is you talked about the yellow arrow.
Sure.
And I told that story
to my wife,
because it really stuck with me. Can you expand on that for our listeners at the Four Outdoorsmen?
Well, this is my little standard stump speech. I'm the former mayor of Red Wing, former state senator. And I encourage anybody to get into public service because you learn so much. But when I was in the Senate, I was the vice chair of the Senate Transportation Committee. Yep. And I had the opportunity to be the chief author for the left-hand flashing arrow bill. And so what that is when you come to a stoplight and you see that yellow flashing arrow where you can take a left-hand turn and you don't need to wait for the whole traffic light to cycle, well, that's my law. So you can say, now you know who passed that law. And when the people in your car say who, you say it's not who, it's...
I tell you what, that's common sense, and that's what government needs. And I tell you, I told you when we were up in Avon, I remember specifically the first time I saw that. I was going to my buddy's house, Derek Rogers, in West Lakeland, south of Highway 94, off of Manning or Lake Elmo Road over there.
Right.
and we take a right off of Highway 94 on Lake Elmo Road. You're going to take a left at a Sun Service Road, and the light turned green, and instead of the arrow being red for the next 3 minutes, it was flashing because if no one's coming,
saves
why
you
the
time
hell?
And energy, fuel, and it's just common sense.
I'll
it's
never forget it. I thought this was the best thing since halter tops. It
has
great.
Nothing to do with the Secretary of State's office, but it does have to do with name recognition, and so that's obviously why I talk about it. But I don't believe the Secretary of State's office should be used for partisan political advantage. And I'm running because of some personal reasons that I don't feel you should be able to cheat and keep your seat. When I ran for re-election in the Senate in 2012, we had 13 DFL senators violate what's called the campaign coordination law. That's where an individual candidate can't coordinate with an independent expenditure. Well, when that happened, 11 of them became sitting state senators. That changed the majority in the Minnesota Senate. And all the DFL state party had to do was pay a $100,000 settlement to the campaign finance board, and those 11 senators got to keep their seats. When I become the Secretary of State and working with the Attorney General's office and working with the legislative body, you are not going to be able to cheat and keep your seat. We need to have openness, honesty in elections. The current Secretary of State's office, and I've only made one campaign promise, and that's not to mention my opponent's name. So I will not mention my opponent's name. That doesn't mean I won't talk about the office or about his record. Currently, unfortunately, the office has been plagued by lawsuits and court orders. And Ramsey County judge just ordered him to release the ineligible voter data. He will give you all the eligible, legitimate voter data, but he will not give you the challenged voter data, the challenged status, or the ineligible potential illegal voter data.
Now, how can he get away with that if he's been ordered to do so?
Appeal the judge's decision to take us past this election cycle.
You're talking about voter fraud.
Well, okay. And actually, we don't talk about voter fraud. We talk about ineligible voting because there's a lot of things. To be convicted in voter fraud in Minnesota, you basically have to say, I knowingly violated the law and I admit to it.
All right.
If you say anything other than that, you can't be convicted of voter fraud. So what we're talking about is ineligible voting. And at the start of the 2016 election, we had 26,000 people on the challenge status list. Those are people that same day register, and then the county sends out a postcard address verification letter. They send out this postcard to verify your address. The 26,000 names comes from either the people came back, the postcard came back undeliverable, or their Social Security number didn't match up to the national registration on the Social Security Administration. So we have 26,000 people challenged. Today, you can self-verify yourself off that list. We need to look at that list, and we have a history of very, very close elections. Back in when Al Franken and Norm Coleman had their election.
Yeah.
We went to bed with Norm Coleman winning, and we woke up with Al Franken being awarded by the election with 312 votes. On that election cycle, several thousands of military votes didn't count because they came in too late. Now, our middle son is at the Air Force Academy out in Colorado Springs. I can guarantee you, when I become the Secretary of State, the men and women that are serving our country, especially those that are overseas in harm's way, their votes are going to count. Now, that's where we need to make a change. It should be when your ballot is postmarked, not by when it comes to the auditor's, county auditor's office. Currently, if that ballot shows up late at the county auditor's office, it doesn't count. It should be when it's postmarked.
Oh, wow. Well, that is some good conversation there, John. Now, I'm going to shift gears a little bit here and go a little outdoors with you.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a couple questions. What's your stance on gun laws in the state?
Well, I believe that we have enough laws on the books. I mean, there are some common sense things, but I'll tell you what, I'm a strong defender of our Second Amendment. We, I own guns. I was raised around guns. I hear this all about, that if we pass another law, we're going to stop a school shooting or whatever. There's other factors that are in play. I was talking to Stru, before we even came in here, and I remember I took gun safety at school. I remember getting on the school bus with my gun, bringing my gun to school on the school bus.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we don't do that anymore. But back when I was a kid, we did. So there's other factors that are causing, there's other social factors that are causing some of these things. Everybody likes to blame the gun and not the person who fired the gun. And certainly I worked at a prison for a number of years, and I went to school for criminal justice. And we certainly have to address mental illness in our society.
Correct.
That's where we're in prison and in correctional facilities, we have a high degree of people that have mental illness issues. And and that's where we should be focusing our not only our attention, but our resources towards addressing that issue, not just doing some feel-good legislation that is only going to keep the law-abiding citizen from doing it.
Well, I tell you what, John, thank you for that candid answer, and thank you for supporting our Second Amendment. I have a couple more questions. So if we do have the other candidate coming on board, yep. I'm going to ask the same question.
Sure.
Okay, so we know in the outdoors industry that we are putting a lot of effort to getting more people into the outdoors, because the more people that buy licensing, you know, the more ecosystem and all that money that dumps into our stuff. What are some things you would look at different?
There's a lot of things we can do. One, we can look at licensing fees. How do we encourage people to get out there? Licensing fees have gotten too expensive for the average person to go out there and hunt.
I agree.
And so, you know, there's that fine line, but I just, you know, my dad was a big hunter and fisherman, and I just remember a bumper sticker he had. And there's so many other benefits to hunting and fishing and getting kids out and outdoors. But one of the bumper stickers my dad had, and he had a bunch of bumper stickers on the back of his truck.
Well, they were holding his truck together.
It wasn't even on the bumper. It was on the tailgate. It was all over. But one of his stickers said, "Kids that hunt and fish don't mug old ladies."
There you go.
And so socially, if you can get a kid, whether it's a girl or a guy, that goes out and you can encourage, and I'm so blessed because this will be my daughter's first time. She's 13 years old, and it'll be her first deer hunting experience this year. But if you can get kids involved in hunting and fishing, it helps so much socially, and I think it also helps them not only from a standpoint of being independent, but really realizing what life is about.
Yep. I see that with my kids. You know, the more I get them involved, they learn teamwork, they learn responsibility, they learn how to deal with a loss. And I mean by a loss is you go out. We went out pheasant hunting the other day on some public land. We didn't get a bird up, John, but we still had fun, right? We had a family activity where they learned about safety, they learned about the outdoors and all
exercise, that all those things. Get them off the internet, off of the Xbox, and get them out in the exactly.
You know, one of my first. Go ahead, Boom.
I had three questions, and then go back to the other politics stuff. One was your stance on guns.
Yep.
Two was your stance on what can we do to get more people involved in Minnesota outdoors. And three, Strew knows
where here it goes. Drum roll.
Do you have any thoughts on Mille Lacs? Now, I know the Secretary of State position. I don't know how much influence that has to Mille Lacs, but Mille Lacs is a hot political item for a lot of outdoorsmen and women.
Well, there's a lot
state.
Of things to that, and one of the things I think we need to we need to recognize the tribe's rights, but we need to renegotiate some things.
Absolutely.
With them to try and because it's such a huge economic engine, and so yes, the Secretary of State can just be a let it happen guy. That's what we have now. Just
or
let
woman.
It happen, or you can make it happen. I think part of the Secretary of State's responsibility is not only making public appearances, but going over to legislative body and leaning in on issues. You know what would make sense for our state? What would make sense to get more tourism in our state, to drive revenue in our state, to encourage at least some taking of some fish out of Mille Lacs for the people who are buying licenses and people who have resorts there? Certainly, we do. I think we can go back to the table and have some negotiations, some earnest negotiations about how can we make this work for everybody and not just be one-sided.
Well, I tell you what, for folks just tuning in, Four Outdoorsmen, Sunday Night Bob Country, we have John Howe on from Red Wing, who is running for Secretary of State of Minnesota. If you didn't hear this already, make sure you catch the podcast, because we asked him about gun laws, which he supports. We asked him about getting more people involved in the outdoors, which he touched on, licensing fees, and then we talked about Mille Lacs. So, Strew,
well, I'll tell you
I'll
what.
Pass
okay,
the football over to you.
Well, okay, the Secretary of State, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, is like number three in the hierarchy of all government positions.
You got number
the,
four.
Number four?
Yeah.
You
number
checked
four.
It out, number four?
Yeah.
You got the governor, lieutenant governor. What's the third then?
Attorney general, probably.
And then and secretary
but,
of state.
But if you got into some technical things, you could go speaker of the House, majority leader, president of the Senate. You know, because the president of the Senate became the lieutenant governor, and we had a little deal there. But so,
well, the question
but
I
it's
have,
a very
no,
important.
No, no, no,
yeah,
no. You talk more than I do.
Sure.
The question I have is, how can you, what are your responsibilities as Secretary of State,
all right,
and how can you influence?
Well, the big thing is everybody just sees the election side of it, and you are the head election official for the state of Minnesota.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things
there.
There's a lot of things that we need to pay
That's
attention
huge.
To. It is. It is. And there's a lot of things that we can do to improve our integrity, increase our openness and honesty. And one of the things is we just have to have transparency in government. You know, too many of the times the government says, oh, you know, I'm going to keep this information from you just to protect you from yourself, right? And so we have to have transparency. But the other side, and really also very, very important of the Secretary of State's office, is you serve on the investment board for the state of Minnesota. You also issue all the business licenses, where the LLCs, the partnerships, the corporations. So you do have a very big business function, and it's the business side of it that we can improve a lot. Today, you have to re-register your business every single year. Now, the state doesn't even collect a fee for that, but you have to go in and re-register every single year. That you shouldn't have to do that every single year.
I'll tell you what, and that being said, does the Secretary of State have the position or the power to not necessarily influence but have strong input with the DNR and other organizations in the state of Minnesota to influence how the conservation goes and deer hunting?
You know, I think you can lean in on issues and go over to the legislative body and say, hey, this makes sense, and I think you should do that. But I'm hoping I can stick around for just a little bit longer and talk about the new presidential primary, because that's a big, hot issue.
We'll do that second.
We'll do that second break. Come up next, Drew and I are going to talk some pheasant hunting, and we're going to be joined again with Minnesota Secretary of State candidate John Howe.
The Four Outdoorsmen, just average guys that love to hunt and fish and chew the fat on Bob Outdoors.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
There is only one gear and apparel outfitter that is the Four Outdoorsmen approved, Wild Fowler. Wild Fowler provides head-to-toe concealment and patterns for every possible hunting season. There is no reason to be cold and wet while hunting. When you wear Wild Fowler, you remain dry, comfortable, and quiet. Wild Fowler is a Minnesota company made for Minnesota hunts. To get your Wild Fowler gear in time for your season, go to wildfowleroutfitter.com or visit your local Fleet Farm store. wildfowleroutfitter.com.
Anglers and outdoor enthusiasts all share a common goal: staying warm, dry, and comfortable. And since you can't choose the weather, you can choose apparel that provides these benefits. Throw in the added value of style, and you'll have the new line of Blackfish softshell outerwear. Designed for multi-season use, the Blackfish gear lineup of softshells include jackets, bibs, and pullover hoodies. Utilizing premium fleece and state-of-the-art weatherproof fabrics, these softshells are perfect for spring and fall transitional fishing seasons. Blackfish gear was created for avid outdoorsmen and women, especially those that spend all day outside. With dependable outerwear, you can keep your mind off the weather and focus on the task at hand. So if you need to stay dry and warm and choose comfort, then you need to choose Blackfish, because you can't choose the weather. Blackfish premium soft shells are available now at a dealer near you.
Once upon a time, there were 3 goats who lived on Iker's Hobby Farm near Avon.
Hey, more like 140.
Right. And while crossing a bridge...
Iker's goats are all kept fenced in, nowhere near a bridge.
Anyway, the goats, while not crossing a bridge, met an ugly troll who wanted to eat them.
That troll needs to eat Iker's Farmstead fresh goat cheese. And I'm guessing he could use some Iker's goat milk face and body cream, too.
Get the real story at IkersHobbyFarm.com.
Iker's Hobby Farm. We love our goats. Celebrate fall with the Minnesota Timberwolves and Twin Cities Harvest Festival and Maze. Explore Minnesota's largest corn maze featuring the Minnesota Timberwolves. Jump in the corn pit, enjoy live music, hayrides, a petting zoo, great food, games, and more. Twin Cities Harvest Festival and Maze takes place weekends September 22nd through October 28th and MEA in Brooklyn Park. Tickets are only $10 online and kids under 36 inches are free. Get tickets at TwinCitiesMaze.com. That's TwinCitiesMaze.com.
Hurry into Lowe's today for savings on everything you need to get started on fall projects, like overseeding and feeding your lawn. You'll find the lawn care products right for your area in stock at Lowe's, plus the know-how to help if you have any questions, like what to do now and what to do next. Plus, find savings to perk up your curb appeal with new mulch and fall plants. Whatever's on your to-do list, start now and save on what you need. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's.
The 7th annual Fall Flooring Yard Sale's going on now with incredible deals at Lumber Liquidators. We've got hundreds of floors on sale, up to 50% off, in stock and ready to go. Save big on waterproof floors, all on sale from just 39 cents. Get Woodlook laminate flooring, all on sale up to 40% off. Pre-finished hardwood and bamboo starting at 99 cents, plus special financing. Stop by your local Lumber Liquidators store or visit lumberliquidators.com today. Total Country Bob FM.
All right, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen. I'm Bob Country. If you haven't listened in so far, we've had a great start to the show. We had president of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, Greg Envall, talk about deer hunting and the deer hunting outlook for the land of 10,000 lakes.
Even
and
I'm going to see a deer this year.
Yes, you are. And you then bet. We had John Howon, who is running for Minnesota Secretary of State. He's an avid outdoorsman. But let's get to the Four Outdoorsmen shout-outs. Bill Katz, my dog's first hunt, listening in the garage. It looks like, wow, Bill, looks like you got into some birds out there. Congratulations on that hunt. Mike Farrell, friend of the show, says, hey, fellas.
Oh, that's what
home from deer camp. Got three stands up this weekend, and we're ready to go. Nice job, Mike and Allie. It looks like there's going to be a big buck coming out of that stand. And then Terry Horse Russack, friend of the show, said, I almost hit a hen that flew in front of my car on Thursday.
Terry in studio. She's been a friend of the show since day one, and she's an old Brian Zepp fan. Let's get her in studio.
We'll try to get Terry to call in sometime. Well, let's talk about our great sponsors that allow us to talk hunting and fishing. Alumacraft Boats. They've been a part of my family's fishing adventures for the last 6 years. They're right here in St. Peter, Minnesota, the best aluminum boat company in the market. Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Blackfish gear. It's premium outerwear. It's great for transitional fishing. That's what I'm wearing this fall bite on Mille Lacs.
You're wearing it right now.
Yeah.
Right now you are.
Yeah, and let's talk about Clam Outdoors. We're happy to bleed blue again this year. They got another great lineup of products coming out, and that's why they're the leader in ice fishing. And Vexilar Marine Electronics, they've been around for a long time, and I never go on the ice without my Vexilar.
Wildfowler is one of our sponsors, and I wear Wildfowler all the time. As a matter of fact, my buddies always tease me, how come you're wearing all that Wildfowler? Because it's wonderful clothing outside. It's hunting and fishing stuff, and I tell you, the camouflage is second to none. Wildfowler's been a great sponsor of the show. Deadshot Custom Calls, and I know you, I don't know how to use a duck call at all, but I'm sure John Howell
I should
does.
Have brought one.
Yeah, hey, anyway, so Deadshot
talking about
Custom
aluminum
calls.
Craft, I was going to say aluminum craft, I just bought one on a charity auction from our duck.
There you
hey,
go.
There
one
you
of our
go,
sponsors,
buddy.
A Deadshot Custom Calls. I just ordered a custom-made duck call for someone that you know very well, Boomer. I can say it's going to be like a Christmas present. Deadshot Custom Calls, the best. They're out of Detroit Lakes. These guys are great.
And a special shout-out to Sandpine Pheasants Family Recreation in Avon, Minnesota. Great, it's great only place. An hour away. John, you were there.
A fantastic place. You get a chance to go there, go there.
It's absolutely amazing. Want to welcome them to the Four Outdoorsmen family. And then I want to get into that a little bit. If you're into pheasant hunting, public hunting is great, right, John? I mean, yep, we got a
absolutely.
Lot of public hunting land in Minnesota. But if you want to get out there, get on some birds, make sure that your kids are involved, especially early, you're training in a new dog, Sandpine Pheasants is the place to go. They have nine different fields to hunt. They have guided hunt options. They clean the birds for you. You can get frozen birds. You can get pheasant sticks. It is just a great place to go. And they also,
cater to people with disabilities. Yes. My dad has a disability right now, and they sell that action track chair, which is that's that wheelchair on steroids that looks like a little Humvee tank, and it got my dad out in the field, so what a great place to go.
Hey, Sandpine Pheasants. Don't give Sandpine that much love. They got to be the sponsor of the show before you start giving them
they
that
are
much.
A sponsor of the show.
They are?
They are a sponsor
welcome
of the show.
Sandpine. Welcome, Sandpine. I'll tell you what, you brought up a good point. You're talking about the kids, getting the kids excited and getting involved. It reminds me of when you take a kid fishing, you don't want to take them fishing for walleyes right off the bat because it might be a half an hour before they get a bite. Take them pan fishing. You want to get a kid involved in the outdoors.
Hey, when I was a kid, we caught bullheads.
There you go. Take them to
Sandpine. Deep fried bullheads. There's nothing wrong with that.
That sounds good to me. But take them to someplace like Sandpine to get them excited to get all the action right off the bat.
You know, and there's one other thing I want to go do at Sandpine Pheasants. I want to go out there and do a European hunt, which they have a release area, John, that is like 30 feet up above. They have 10 different stations, and they release 300 birds.
Wow.
And you rotate by each station. That is on my bucket list, and we are going to head up to Sandpine Pheasants and do that.
I've done it once, and even I hit something. I'll tell you what, we're talking to John Howell here. He's the Republican candidate for Secretary of State, and you wanted me to ask you about the Republican primary. I mean, the presidential primary.
The new presidential primary, right? A lot of people aren't aware of that. Thanks, Drew, for asking me
you
that.
Bet.
The under the new rules of the new presidential primary, 2020 will be the first time we have it. And so what's going to happen when you come in to vote in the new presidential primary, you're going to have to give the election judge an oath to tell that person that you will vote for your party's nominee.
And this is cut in stone right now.
It is. It's cut in stone. And you're going to have to declare whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. You're going to either be given a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot. Now, who you vote for will not be public information, but how you voted, whether you voted Republican or whether you voted Democrat, will now be public information.
Well, what's the benefit of that?
Well, the benefit,
yeah.
There is no benefit. I'm against it. And if you don't think you should have to give an oath, which is a silly, unenforceable oath in the first place, but if you don't think that how you voted, whether you voted Republican or Democrat, should be public information, vote for John Howell, because I'm going to get that law changed. You know, the current Secretary of State thought it was a great idea. He supported it. Now he's kind of changed his tune since I've pointed it out to people that you have to do this. And it's ridiculous. And what's going to happen is the party's going to, you know, basically the government's going to collect this information for the party, and then they're going to use it to identify you, to try and get donations from you and things of that nature, and market things to you. So I think your ballot, it should be a secret ballot in Minnesota. It should be between you and your God, who you vote for, and no one else's business. Certainly, whether you vote or not is public information. Whether you're eligible or not is public information. But which party you voted for and who you voted for, that should not be public
information. I'm on your side. I'm sure Boomer's on your side as well. On your side as well. We're going to have one more question for you about politics right now. That we're going to talk about the week that we had and what's going on
We've
in the outdoor
about
industry.
10 minutes, Drew.
All right.
Oh, we got plenty of time. Brian's got a question for you. He's going to put him on the hot seat right now.
Sure.
Well, I don't know about the hot seat, but I'll be nice to him because he's a guest. John, so you know, medical issues are a big thing for me in the political world. I know in Minnesota that's a real hot topic, and getting health care and all of that. Your office, I know, deals a lot with like the voting and so forth. Do you think that items such as health care is driving like the absentee voting up? Is that kind of what do you think is?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, that right now we have no excuse absentee voting. We have early voting. And so those are all really good things because, you know, we have deer hunting and people should vote before they go deer hunting. But, you know, it's really unfortunate. What happened is, you know, you had the Affordable Health Care Act, which the ACA, which everybody would call it Obamacare, really drove just premiums crazy. I mean, insurance rates went way sky high. Deductibles went way high, sky high. I had an unfortunate accident down in Carver. My deductible was $11,000. I just got my bill, and my share is $11,000. You know, and so what's happened is now, unfortunately, not even in Minnesota here, but across the nation, the Democrats have taken this thing and said, "Listen, you know, if you vote for a Republican, pre-existing conditions aren't going to be covered." And so that's a falsehood. No one, and I talked to all the candidates behind the scenes, no one supports eliminating coverage for pre-existing conditions. But it's a talking point that is driving, it polls really well. So you'll hear every Democrat say, "Hey, if you vote for Republican, you're going to lose your pre-existing health care." It's just a falsehood. And they're not only using it in Minnesota, they're using it all across the nation. But I think that that one of the things that we can do to bring premiums down and get better coverage and lower deductibles is to be able to buy insurance across state lines. We need more competition. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm from Goodhue County. We have one provider down there. We have the highest increases in health insurance rates in the whole entire state. And that's because we don't have any choices. Now, we have a very good provider, but we don't have any choices. And I owned a number of small Sears stores. That's where I got my start in small businesses. I had small dealer stores, like catalog stores. And I had one in Iowa, and we couldn't buy insurance across state lines. So that's one of the things that we could do to improve the premiums or lower the premiums and improve health care. We need more choices.
Don't you think the lobbyists, though, with the insurance companies are so powerful that they're not going to let that happen? Because I know that, like, with the health care exchange, even in Minnesota, some health care companies are just pulling out because they're not making a big enough profit.
Well, I agree with that. That's one of the concerns we have. Money in politics is really it's being devastated. If you go to the FEC, you'll see that I'm involved in a federal lawsuit. I'm one of two Republicans along with two Democrats that is trying to get dark money shed the light on it. Because what happens is you have these. I believe independent expenditures should have to abide by the same rules as candidates do, that we have, that there has to be, that you could only donate to an entity expenditure to the same amount that you can donate to somebody's, as somebody's candidacy, mm-hmm. as an individual campaign committee. So there's a lot of things we can improve upon. And I think that's one of the things, you know, I say in my literature that the Secretary of State's office should not be used for partisan political advantage. What's happened with these constitutional offices, if you look at the AG's office, the Democrats have controlled it for 48 years. In the Secretary of State's office, they've controlled it for 12 years. And these offices become weaponized and become used against people. But certainly, you know, not all lobbyists are bad. Lobbyists perform a function of education and things. But we have to be careful, because people who have lots of money involved in politics usually get what they want. Mm-hmm. We've seen it with the Viking Stadium. We'll see it with Xcel Energy. You know, we'll see it with health care. And so we need to do the right thing for the state of Minnesota and for the people. You know, that's where I think I have that private sector experience. Mm-hmm. I have that local government experience as being a mayor. Being a mayor helped me be a better state senator. And I think combine that with my my private sector will make me a good Secretary of State.
Time's up.
You need that.
Time's up.
All right.
Time's up.
Thanks
a lot. I tell
you what,
there, you got your answer, Brian?
I am.
All right, let's talk.
You got his loaded question. Well, I want to give a shout out to James Donnelly Jr. He said, howdy from the three amigos, James, Dip, and Derek. James, Dip, and Derek, thanks for tuning into the Four Outdoorsmen, wherever you guys are at on Bob Country Land right now. I want to give a shout out to John Savat, that pheasant hunting guide from Sandpine Pheasants took us out.
Good guy.
He gave me that 50-foot lead, and this is my Springer's first year hunting. She's 1 year old. We got her in August. You know, it was kind of a tough transitional period to start hunting her that young, but this is her first fall hunting experience. And
boy, some of those guides' dogs were just outstanding, weren't they?
Oh, my goodness. They were great, weren't they?
They're unbelievable. Pointers. Yeah. That's fantastic.
And I had that 50-foot lead leash, and we went out almost every day with Luma and worked her and worked her and worked her, and we went back out with my beautiful wife and kids to Sandpine Pheasants, and we got, I think we got 5 or 6 birds, which was really great, you know, to have a Springer working on her own for the first time. Then we brought her out to some public hunting land. I took John's advice there. I'll share this with folks on the Four Outdoors and on Bob Country Land, where we didn't hunt into the wind, John. We hunt crosswind.
Really?
And that really helped my Springer to just zigzag left and right versus just kind of raining out. So, John Savat, thank you. Tips for our listeners from John. Get a 50-foot leash, boy, because it sure paid some dividends with Luma.
Hey, John, we're talking to John Howell. He's the Republican candidate for Secretary of State. Let's talk about your little background, your hunting start. What was cool about you when you started as a kid?
Well,
what do you love about hunting?
You know, my dad's nickname was Deadeye Dick because, you know, our job was to get, you know, like if we were hunting fox, our job was to get the fox to cross the road or within a couple hundred yards of the road. But if that fox got within 200 yards of the road, that was a dead fox. And it didn't matter how fast he was running. It didn't matter if he was sitting or standing. My dad was just an exceptional shot. And one of my favorite memories is going trap shooting with him. You know, we used to go over and I used to, you know, we used used to trap shoot. We'd go what's called turkey shoots.
Yeah.
And whoever got the white clay or the orange bird would win the turkey. But if somebody missed that, then it was whoever had the high score. And there's usually those guys that were, you know, a couple of good guys shooting.
Right.
And they would back up a step. Next thing you know, they're shooting from 30 steps behind where they normally shoot. And so I was very fortunate to grow up in a hunting family and be able to respect the outdoors and be able to put food on the table. And it was just a, you know, learning about sportsmanship and about integrity from that standpoint is really important.
Is your dad still alive?
No, he passed away about 7 years ago.
Young?
Yeah. Well, no, he was, I think he was 81 when he passed away.
Okay.
So,
All right. Go ahead, Boom.
All right. Well, I want to give another big shout out to Craig Johnson. He said, hey, fellas, successful Lake of the Woods duck hunting trip. Rainy, their little Springer. I'm partial to Springers. Way to go, Craig. Got a workout on a two-man limit plus a banded Burt to boot.
Wow.
Good
Congratulations.
Job, Craig. All right. Well, great show on the Four Outdoorsmen tonight. We had MDHA President Craig Enwall on talking about the Minnesota Deer Hunting Outlook. Secretary of State candidate for Minnesota, John Howe from Red Wing, was on.
Remember, it's soshowe.com, soshowe.com. Had to get that in there.
Hey, that's good. And stay tuned. Next Sunday, you're going to want to listen. We're going to have duck hunting guru Tony Vandemore.
I didn't know that.
Yep, Tony Vandemore is going to be joining us.
You got anything else to say, my friend?
I just want to say it was a pleasure hunting with you guys up at Sand Pines, and just great meeting you guys. Thanks for having
us
here.
Thank you, John, and get outdoors.
You got it.
Everything you need to get started.